Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the blessed opportunity we have to come to this Thy house and worship Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might be with us as He has blessed us in song and prayer. And now we pray that as we come to the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, that Thy Spirit will be one in our midst, to manifest Himself in our midst, to fill us with Himself, that we might worship in spirit and in truth. That Thy servant may preach Thy Word, Thy people may hear and understand, that above all, it may honor and glorify Thee, and then edify Thy people. I thank Thee for the church here, each member, each friend, and I pray that Thy richest blessings might abide with her, that she may grow and prosper in every way that would seem good in Thy sight. And then I thank Thee that she has a pastor coming, and pray that Thy blessings, Thy Spirit would be with him and them together, that they may glorify Thee. Now, we thank Thee that things are as well with us as they are. And we're mindful that there are those on our prayer list and others whom we know that we should, for whom we should pray. And we pray Thy richest blessings to be with each other. Bless our nation, we pray. And forgive us of our sins, we humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verses 14 through 24. Joshua chapter 24, which is the last chapter in the book of Joshua, and verses 14 through 24. Now, this is a far longer reading than predominantly read, I suppose you say, that I read the great majority of the time, and yet that's the narrative that's found in these verses here. Again, Joshua 24, verses 14 through 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Now, the second word in this passage of Scripture, that is beginning at verse 14, was the word therefore. And the word therefore is a word that's used to connect with what the near context that precedes that word and that near context that follows the word therefore. Therefore or wherefore. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. We'll get back to what therefore is mean. To use a quote of a Christian minister on the radio, what is therefore, therefore. We'll get into the what is therefore, therefore a little later, the Lord willing. But he says, now therefore, fear the Lord. One of the definitions of the word fear is to hold in reverence. To hold in reverence. That is, to be in awe of God. Now, when we think about the fact that God is such a powerful God, and I'm just, what I'm saying now, I suppose you might say to some degree, is like a drop in the bucket. That is, He created the heaven and the earth. Everything that you see, He created in 6 24-hour periods. Now, that's an amazing thing. And the great majority of it, God just spoke it into existence. He said, let certain things happen, and certain things happen just exactly as God intended for them to happen. He didn't have to say that this certain kind of animal has to be thus and so, but God says, in His mind, He said, this is the way it's to be. And so God said, let these things happen. And they happened just exactly as God said they should happen. And then God looked at everything that He saw, and the idea of the way He made it and the way the different parts of the creation interact with one another or would interact with one another, He said, it was very good. God did that. And so therefore, God like that, we should be in awe of God. Now, again, Joshua said, fear the Lord. Now, we need to also remember there are primary definitions of words. And the word fear is the idea of being afraid. Now, God is a God of love and mercy. We know that. We thank the Lord for that. We'd be in a mess if He were not a God of love, grace, and mercy. Thank the Lord that He is. But He's also a God of judgment. And that's also brought out in this passage of Scripture that I read. The Lord willing, I'll refer back to it. He is a God of judgment. And so therefore, because God is a God of unlimited power, unlimited knowledge, and He is omnipresent, that is, He is all places at all times, then we should fear the Lord, fear the judgment of God. Though we love God, and we know that God loves us, at the same time, we should fear the judgment of God. Alright, so therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him. Now, and He said, not only serve Him, but put away the gods that your fathers served. Now, they served them where? On the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Well, I suppose one thing we could say is they had those gods while they were there in Egypt. They cried out to the Lord, and yet they also had those other gods, the statues of other gods. And not only did He have the statues of other gods then, but He said, on the other side of the flood. Well, what flood was He talking about? The only flood we think about, maybe the first flood we think about, is the flood in Noah's day. Well, they didn't have those gods then because they were not born then. They descended from Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So they didn't exist by then, but there was a flood that they caused. Or they went through, or whatever the proper wording is for it, and that is that the flood there at the Jordan River. They crossed the Jordan River at harvest time, and the Scriptures plainly say that Jordan always overflowed its banks at harvest time. And I think from what I studied a number of years ago that river must have been miles long, and yet God rolled back those waters, or stopped those waters, and they quit flowing down below then, and the Israelites were able to go across on dry land. That's the flood. And so they lived while they were there in the wilderness, and God was blessing them with manna in many other and in many other ways, then they still had those gods. Now, at the end of Joshua's life, or toward the end of Joshua's life, they still had those gods. Most of the land has been possessed that is. They conquered the Canaanites in that land, and yet they still had those gods. Now, but they had to put them away before they could fully or wholly serve the Lord. One of the things I thought about when I thought about this passage was during the days of kings such as Josiah, or other kings. Now, there's another one I'm trying to think. I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, Josiah. And some of these kings, good kings of the nation of Judah, followed bad kings. Kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then a king such as Josiah came. And then what did they do? Did they begin serving the Lord? Well, he did. But the first thing he did was places where the people of Judah, where they worshipped other gods, there were groves, there were high places, and there may have been buildings for the worship of other gods, such as Baal and others that could be named. They had to get rid of those. They had to destroy those. And so Joshua, in that same matter, is telling the Israelites here, after they've gone into the land of Canaan and possessed most of the land, the first thing you have to do is put away those strange gods. And I call them strange in this verse, by the way, but later on in the chapter, they're called strange gods. Now, to put away those gods so that they can fully serve the Lord. Now, think about this. This shows a tremendous love of God. I mentioned God was a God of love, mercy, and grace. Well, He is. Well, you see, He blessed the Israelites in so many different ways when they still had, some of them anyway, still had these other gods with them. And that shows the love, mercy, and grace of God. But Joshua goes on to say, if it seemed evil for you to serve the Lord, then he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. These were the Israelites, brothers and sisters. They were the people of God. There's no way in the world that I or anyone else say that every Israelite was a member of the elect family of God. But it's safe to say, since God chose this nation, surely there were some that were His people. That is, that Jesus' blood bought people. Some that were born of the Spirit of God. These were the Israelites. They were the people of God. And God blessed them above all others. They were blessed by God as no other people were blessed. Turn over with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. And I want to read from chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. And it speaks there of the blessings that God gave to the nation of Israel. The spiritual blessings that God gave to the nation of Israel. And these are the writings of the Apostle Paul to the saints at Rome. And he said again, or wrote again, rather, in Romans 3 verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. That is, the Word of God. That is, the spoken message of God. God did not speak to the nation of Israel as a whole that I remember. And yet God spoke through Moses and Joshua and David and others. And so in that way they had the spoken Word of God. What was written down as the Word of God was something that God spoke to others and gave to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had the law and the prophets and any other thing that you might imagine as far as the spiritual blessings of God. They were the only nation that had that. And so, but remember, brothers and sisters, these are the people of God, and the people of God can choose to serve the Lord. That is, God's born-again people can choose to serve the Lord. Alright? Let me express this in a little bit different way. It says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. That is, this is not a decision to make at a convenient time. I think sometimes it's good to make decisions before any kind of temptation ever comes. I'll not do this. I'll not do that. Before any temptation ever comes. It's difficult to make a decision when there's temptation in front of us. And yet, but for serving the Lord, it is not a decision to be made just just at a convenient time. And it is not a one-time choice. That is to say, I choose today to serve the Lord, therefore I've chosen today to serve the Lord, therefore I'll serve the Lord. It is a decision that must be made daily. I must make the decision every day in my life to serve the Lord. And not only do I need to make this decision daily, every day in my life, but it is a decision that must be made often, every day in my life. And so it's a decision that we must make over and over again. Alright? And I'll rephrase this question again, or emphasize a different word in this same statement. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." With the emphasis on the word serve. And that is, it's serve as opposed to working for someone. Yeah, we do not put in our 8 hours for serving the Lord. We do not put in our 8 hours and go home. So it's true there. There's a need for relaxing. There's and that sort of thing, rest and so forth. There's a need for all of that. But we don't just simply put in our 8 hours and go home. But that is, we're constantly to be serving the Lord in one way or another in all that we do. We do it in such a way that we're serving the Lord, that we're honoring the Lord, or we're doing it in a way that pleases Him. But when we serve someone, we're in their presence. Look over with me, if you will, in Psalm 16 and verse 11. Again, it's Psalm 16 and verse 11. And this word reads, "As thou wilt show me the path of life." Now stop right there just a moment. "Thou wilt show me the path of life." What? Now, who wrote this? Oh, I wondered about it. Coming down here, who wrote this particular psalm? Well, it says David wrote this particular psalm. David was a man after God's own heart. That means, that's an evidence, rather, that David was born of the Spirit of God. And so he was one of God's children, again, who was born of the Spirit of God. And then David, this man, says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Listen, there's a path of life for each one of us. And this path of life is found here in the Word of God. That is to a path, the way we can live our lives to experience the joys of life. And he refers to that in this verse, as long as we live. "Thou wilt show me that the path of life. In thy presence," remember again, when we serve someone, we're in his presence. "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Now let's stop right there just for a moment. In thy presence. Now, remember I said some things about the Lord in the very beginning. And one of the things I said about the Lord was that He is omnipresent, and that He is in all places at all times. God is. I don't understand that, but I just simply believe it by faith. God is omnipresent. Now, I think when David wrote in this passage of Scripture, "In thy presence is fullness of joy," I think what he meant was when God's presence was felt in his life, there was fullness of joy. And when we can feel the presence of the Spirit of God, there is fullness of joy. Another Jewish man called the Apostle Peter wrote about this. I believe it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He said, he referred to this joy in Jesus Christ, by the way, is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so this is the fullness of joy that we experience. That when we feel the Spirit of God in our presence, or feel near the Spirit of God, and when we feel Him in His presence, then He's leading us in the way of Jesus, or reminding us of what Jesus has done for us. And then he goes on to say, "At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And the right hand of God, what's that? Jesus. With Jesus Christ, there are pleasures forevermore. And thank the Lord for that. Now, Joshua said all these things, "Choose you this day whom you serve." But then he goes on to say, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a statement of faith. Now, there were a couple of million, maybe more people than that in the nation of Israel. And he said, listen, though you millions of people, regardless of which way you may turn, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now this was shortly before Joshua's death. And we find this in verse 29. It says here, and it came to pass after those things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, being a... Beg your pardon. Let me read that again. I know I missed something. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. That is, after this, shortly after Joshua gave this exhortation to the nation of Israel, he passed away and he was 110 years old. Now, why do you bring that out? Well, those were his last words. What tremendous last words that you can find there are the words of Joshua there in this passage of Scripture. And yet, Joshua had children. God, at this time, Joshua had grandchildren, and maybe at 110, he may have had great-grandchildren, and maybe another generation down there. I don't know. But it's safe to say that he had children, grandchildren, and probably great-grandchildren also. He said, listen, we're going to serve the Lord. My family, me, my wife, and she's still living, and all my children and grandchildren and all of their families, we are going to serve the Lord. What an influence a man like that had on his life. I'm thankful that we can say that maybe our boys are not exactly where they are as we'd like to be, but they're good, honest young men. Thank the Lord for that. But Joshua says, as for me and my house. Joshua spoke for every one of them. So what a tremendous statement that was. And then their response to this was, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. What had God done for them? Remember, I told you in the very beginning that the second word in this passage of Scripture that our text this morning is the word therefore, which shows there is a connection which precedes the word and a connection which immediately or shortly thereafter follows the word. And in the previous verses, beginning at verse 1, where he gathered all the people to Shechem there. Let's stop right there just for a minute. Now I thought about this coming down. The word Shechem. Now what's important about that? Well, it's a word or a place that we find a number of times in the Scriptures, but it's a word that means ridge. Ridge. Well, what's so important about that? A number of years ago, I don't remember how many, quite a few, in the mid-80s, I was in a historical pageant in this little town called Cologne. And it says that one of the words anyway in the title was watershed. Well, what does that mean? Watershed is that it's a kind of a high place, and then all the water on this side goes to a certain way and into the Gulf of Mexico. All the water on this side goes a certain way and goes to the Atlantic Ocean. There was a Shechem, which was a town and which was a place also. It was a ridge. That is, you go this way or that way. Do you choose to serve the Lord or you choose someone else? But he reminded them in this passage of Scripture about all the good things that God had done for them as he gathered them, as beginning in verse 1 and through verse 13, that God had done some amazing things for them. He called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob and his 12 sons went down into the land of Egypt. They were there for a while, and they prospered for a while. But after a while, there was another king that was raised up that knew not Joseph. And what he meant was that he didn't care one bit about Joseph and what Joseph had done and saved the nation of Israel. And so he didn't have any care for him, and so therefore that he treated the Israelites very terribly, put them into bondage, and other things can be said. But God blessed them to come out of Egypt. God blessed them to come through the wilderness. God blessed them to come through the Red Sea earlier, and now through the Jordan River, and God blessed them to possess most of the land. God had been good to them and blessed them in so many ways. He said, now therefore, for this reason, because of what God has done for you, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Now, so the question is, has God done anything for us? God has saved us by His amazing grace. God has given us a home here in this world. I don't mean just the houses where we live. God has given us that. Everything that we have are blessings of the Lord, which we'll see in just a moment. Everything we have, that they're all blessings of the Lord. But when I say we have a home here in the world, we have the Church of Jesus Christ. And in it, the Church of Jesus Christ is a blessing. And where we can come and meet with the people of God and meet with us with the blessings of God and sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus the Lord, as we find in Ephesians chapter 2. To do that and again meet with the people of God and find strength and encouragement with one another. It was mentioned this morning in Bible study about Job, how he was a man, yet he had all kinds of trials and tribulations like maybe a few other people have ever had, and yet he was still faithful to God. That's an example for us that regardless of trials that may come in our lives, we can be faithful or should be faithful to the Lord as Job was. God has saved us by His amazing grace. God has not only saved us by His grace, but He's blessed us to know that we've been saved by His amazing grace. And thank the Lord for that. And God has a future home for us. Then we have a home here. We can experience the joys of the kingdom of God, which are righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, as we find in Romans 14:17. We can experience that, which is a foretaste of heaven, but God has the fullness of heaven's pure world for us sometime in the future. And listen, brothers and sisters, this salvation came by Jesus Christ. That's right. This salvation came by Jesus Christ. We need to never forget that we have a home in heaven because Jesus Christ went to the cross for us and suffered the most agonizing form of capital punishment ever known to man. And even worse than the physical pain that Jesus experienced was that during some of that time while He was there on the cross, He cried out the fifth of the seventh saying, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? To even be forsaken of His Father. What a terrible experience that Jesus had. We need to remember that Jesus suffered those things for us. Now, oh, James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. It's probably for me a scripture to many of you. And it reads, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, God has given us good gifts. The homes that we live in, the automobiles that we drive, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, and all that. Those are good gifts that God has given us. We went to the store and bought them, I know that. But God blessed us with the money that we used to buy them. Well, I work for that money, that's right. But God gave us the ability to do those jobs. So it all goes back, indirectly or whatever, to the Lord. But then, they're perfect gifts of salvation by the grace of God. Those are gifts that can never be destroyed. And thank the Lord for that. Now, think about this. God kept His Word. Remember I said about the Israelites? There were promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. God would bless them with the land of Canaan. And God kept His Word. And we can see by that that God is a word-keeping God. Because, well, actually the Scriptures teach that God cannot lie. And when God has given us promises such as the resurrection, God will be true to Himself and He will keep those promises. Thank the Lord for that. Alright, in all of this they said, we will also serve the Lord. And then Joshua said to them, you cannot serve the Lord. I wonder, why did Joshua say that for years? He said, for He is a holy God. And He is a just God. Well, what did he mean by that? Was he trying to discourage them from serving the Lord? No. He exhorted them to serve the Lord. But he said, now that you cannot serve the Lord. Again, was he trying to discourage him? But what he was telling them, you can't serve the Lord and serve other gods. That's what it was all about. When he said, I thought for years, when I read that, and when they said, we will also serve the Lord, that they were saying, as you, Joshua, we're going to serve the Lord also. No, evidently that's not what they meant, because they meant that we have these other gods, we're going to worship them, but we're going to serve the Lord also. God said, God said through Joshua, that will not work. Now, but again, they could not serve the Lord in addition to other gods. He goes on to say that he will not forgive your transgression or your sin. This has nothing to do with heaven. This had nothing to do with the fact that they were Israelites. And for us, it has nothing to do that we are children of God. We've been born of the Spirit of God. Heaven is our home, and we will be there sometimes. But He does not forgive when we continue in our sins. We will be chastised. Look at verse 20 in our text. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. And so again, that's the passage of Scripture that says God is a God of judgment. And to that, in response, they says, we will serve the Lord. And he said, we will serve him only. And listen, brothers and sisters, here at the end of this 24th chapter of Joshua, I'm not sure which verse it is, and then later on in the book of Judges, we find there, as long as there were elders who knew Joshua, and these are the ones, by the way, that Joshua is speaking to, the elders of all the tribes of the nation of Israel. Joshua is speaking to those elders. And as long as those elders lived that knew Joshua, Israel was faithful to the Lord. But if you know the book of Joshua, that is what was contained in it, you know that they would lapse into idolatry. And then another nation would come, and would be God's instrument of judgment. Could have been the Moabites, could have been the Philistines, could have been some other nation, but that happened over and over again. And then after a while, they cried out to the Lord. And then the Lord sent a judge, such as, I can't think of one I'm trying to think of right now. But anyway, God, they sent judges. And then those judges led the Israelites, and they were able to overthrow those other nations that had them at least partially in bondage. And they served the Lord again, and they lapsed into idolatry. And this whole cycle happened over and over again. But Joshua said, put away the strange gods. Think about that. Notice what he says here, the strange gods. If you look at the picture of some of the statues of other gods, and they are rather strange. Some of them grotesque. Some of them, maybe all of them, but some of them anyway, repulsive to look at. And so he said, put away these strange gods. That is, well, they're strange. Well, there are a variety of reasons that they were strange, but one of the reasons was that they hadn't done anything for you. The Lord did everything for you. All you have is because of the Lord. Now, think about the goodness of God. Think about when they got there. Well, let me back up before I tell you when they got there. There was two harvests in that day. There was the barley harvest, the first harvest. And then after the barley harvest, there was the wheat harvest. All right? They got there in the land of Canaan. They crossed the River Jordan at the beginning of the barley harvest. That is, there was barley that other nations planted or sowed, and they themselves were able to reap that barley. Later on, there was a wheat harvest. And they were able to reap the wheat harvest that had been sown by other people. You see, God had been good to them. God not only blessed them to come into the land of Canaan and blessed them with manna until they had gotten into the land of Canaan, but then, and now you go and gather what's there. And they were able to do that. So God was a God of good timing to bring them there. And so he said, put away those strange gods. And they said, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. God has never spoken directly to me as we speak one to another, and I don't anticipate that God will ever speak directly to me as we speak one to another. And yet when they said, His voice will we obey, then what they were saying was, God's word would we obey. That is, they already had some of the voice of God, because they had the books of the law, the five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. They had those five books of the law. That was God's word to them and the way that they were following their life. And so they said, we are going to follow God's word. Every one of us, brothers and sisters, daily, often during the day, must make the decision, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey. God help us to do so, my brothers and sisters, is my prayer for Christ's sake.